Little fact about me that you may or may not have known, when I started entrepreneurship, I knew no one in the entrepreneurship space. Being in a network, a little social circle of people, a mastermind, like none of that existed. In fact, there weren't a lot of people out there who were building businesses online, at least not that I could see with the Facebook algorithm. And so when I started out and I was trying to blog and grow a business, a girl I knew a long, long time ago, like way back when in high school, reached out to me and said, "Hey, I've been seeing your stuff. I grow a business online too. We should hang out." And that girl was the amazing, amazing business coach, Jen Casey. Jen and I have been friends on the journey since that moment when she reached out. We actually met once on a subway beforehand in high school, auditioning for college. We were both going into musical theater and both had a passion for performance. And so all those years later, her reaching out to me was such a light in the journey of being an entrepreneur because I didn't have support and I didn't know what I was doing. And that sisterhood and that community is exactly what Jen and I dive into on this beautiful interview of the Badass Business Podcast. She shares a lot of her journey of entrepreneurship in her story of success and how she climbed to the top. We talk so much, you guys. There's like so much in this episode. I don't even really know how to promo it. We talk about the big breakthroughs that she had, the things that she had to let go of. We talked about what it was like to have a business partner and then losing that business partner. We've talked about the growth and the tribe and narrowing down your niche, leaving health and wellness coaching into business coaching. I mean, there is so much in this episode. No matter where you are in your business, I guarantee you will take something away from this chat. I hope you enjoy this. And if you have some time today, please leave us a 5-star review on the Badass Business Podcast. If you've been listening to our episodes and you love them, it's just a beautiful way for our episodes to get seen by more people. So if you can spread that love, return the favor, leave us a 5-star review, it would mean so much to us. Enjoy the show, guys. This is the Badass Business Podcast. You're listening to the Badass Business Podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to claim a wildly free life. Tune in to hear new episodes every Tuesday by yours truly, Lauren Liz Love. This is the space where we can have open conversations about growing a successful business and creating a vibrant lifestyle. It's real, it's raw, and it's unfiltered. This episode of the Badass Business Podcast is sponsored by the Infinite Impact Academy. Jen Casey and I talk about the power of mastermind in this episode of the podcast. We really learned early on in the days of our coaching business, trying to grow entrepreneurship, that the biggest, most powerful thing we could do was surround ourselves with like-minded women who are ready to grow and expand and take things to new levels. So when Jen and I were exploring where we were going to show up next and support our business babes out there, we realized there was a high need to fill a spot to get a large group of women who were all growing their business, trying to get to the next level, all together in one space to be coached, to grow together and support each other. The Infinite Impact Mastermind is a year-long intensive with Jen Casey and I, and we help you grow your business and take things to the new level. This is only for the girl out there who is making anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 per month, and she's really looking to take things to the next level. If that's you, please come join us. There's a link in the show notes for you to join. We only take a handful of girls and it's application only. So if you have some time and you're feeling called, you can go ahead and join us. And if you're that girl that needs coaching, but you're not necessarily in that space of making 5 to 10K months and you want to get there, you can come join the Coaching Mentorship. This is a program where you get to work with me one-on-one. I take 22 girls. The Coaching Mentorship is designed to give you massive results with 2 months of coaching, working with me directly, getting my eyeballs on your biz and helping you grow things to the next level. That link is also in the show notes. So if you're one of those girls out there, we would love to have you come join us. Click the link below and enjoy this episode. Let's just like, my plan for this episode is that we're going to shoot the shit. We're going to record an open dialogue, an honest conversation, because I think that's what people really love. Mm-hmm. And I'll record an intro later. So you ready to rock?
Let's do it. Do you live stream?
No, I don't live stream. I think personally, like, can we talk about that? Because I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think that I find myself when I'm on a podcast episode, like, if I'm focused on looking good while I talk, I actually sound dumb, right? Because I'm like thinking, like, I have to record this. I need to be clever in my words. But like then when I'm trying to focus on how I look, I actually don't pay as much attention to like my audio delivery. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah. You don't feel that way, do you?
No, I feel like I need to be live. Otherwise, I overthink it and I get in my head because I know there's no one on the other end in that moment. So when I am doing something live, I actually feel like I'm having a conversation with people. And then I just talk. And it's like whatever comes out, comes out. I can't go back and redo it 50 times because that's not how you have a normal conversation.
Oh my God. Wait, so you work better in front of an audience.
Yeah. And also that was my training in theater. Yeah. So when I brought in on camera stuff with trying to record videos as a business owner, it used to take me 50 takes to try to get the quote unquote right take. And as soon as live video came out, I was like, oh, this is so much faster. I'm just going to do everything on live.
Yeah. Cause if you fuck up, it's like, it's live. That's it. You're done.
Yeah. And like, more magical things happen when you're live because you don't have a net.
Yeah.
Like I have my structure of how I do my live videos, so that helps, but you don't have a net. So it's like whatever comes out of your mouth, like the time where I said titter instead of Twitter, that was like there was nothing that I could do. It was just there. It was out there in the world.
Do you know, I went to journalism school and in school we were talking about social media platforms and I remember this was like right around the time where like Twitter was becoming a big thing, but I didn't say Twitter. I said like, just like you, I fucked it up, but I was like twatter.
Well, that's worse.
It's really bad. It was so in front of the whole class. It was so embarrassing, but yeah, this is the thing, like Facebook Live, like this, there's such an obsession about perfection, right? Like we have to be perfect in our online space. And I think it would be really cool for you to talk on that. Like, what did you have to go through and in the journey of letting go of perfection and just being like, fuck, I gotta go live. Like, this is it. Like, what else happened in your entrepreneurship that made you have to make that shift?
Wow. like everything, right? Because I was the quintessential perfectionist. Even when I was going to school for theater, I remember after the first semester, the feedback that I got was, this isn't school. There's nothing to do right. Wow. You were completing all of your assignments, but you're still showing up as if this is college and it's not. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, what do you mean? I am doing everything right. So I was still kind of functioning from being inside this box. And for me coming into entrepreneurship, I think that was a big challenge because I was so hardwired to want to do things right so that I wouldn't get anything wrong, so that I wouldn't, like, no one would be mad at me. Like, we create all of these things as little kids, right? And I think, I'm trying to think, one of the biggest things, I mean, just even putting my before and after pictures up on Facebook, like way before Facebook was a platform where people shared that type of journey. Like I was a somewhat early settler when it comes to like network marketing, health and fitness, using Facebook to grow your business. And I was not effective in the way that I was showing up because I was doing a lot of old school strategies. And I think people were still trying to figure out back in 2011, like, what is this platform? How can we put our stuff out there and connect with people? So to put my stuff out, my body out there on social media was absolutely terrifying. I was never the kid that wanted to be in a bikini. I didn't show any skin. I didn't like my stomach my whole life. I was very insecure growing up with my body. And so to now step forward and be like, oh my God, all these people from high school are going to see my body. I think that was like a big messy jump into, oh shit, like, people are going to say some stuff and I just need to get the F over it because if I don't put this out there, then no one's going to know my journey. They're not going to be able to connect with me.
Yeah.
I think that, like, just even like the early days, I think were some of the scariest times. But that's not to say that it doesn't still continue to scare the shit out of me, right? There's days where it's like, oh my God, I'm going to put out this story and I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know how people are going to react to this. And I think as your audience continues to grow, your level of responsibility continues to grow. And so even like you recently, you commented on the Tony Robbins thing. And, you know, like we are in somewhat of a spotlight. There are people looking to all of us and saying, how is she going to respond to this? How is she going to react? What's her take on it? and they want to know. They want to know how we're going to respond. And I think that that responsibility becomes a little bit greater.
Well, you know, what's so interesting, like I'm having a light bulb around this as we talk, because like in the beginning, it's, I'm going to put myself out there and I'm afraid of rejection, and it transforms into, because we're always afraid, right? Mm-hmm. At certain levels. But later on in your business journey, it transforms into, I'm going to put myself out there, and what if I lose people, right? Like mm-hmm. that. And I'm wondering for you, like, what do you think is harder? Are they the same, or like, is one worse? I think they both kind of suck, but...
I think the early stages of going through the early days of entrepreneurship, those are where you get your early battle wounds of discomfort. And it's a lot of it is a rite of passage. But all of those early days things are happening to you, I believe, so that when you get to the higher levels, or there's more skin in the game, or you have bigger following, or you're making a lot more money and the stakes might be a little bit higher on a physical plane, you're ready for it. Like, you are slowly growing into that abundance. So I don't know if it necessarily gets easier, but it's just with a different level of authority and a different level of income, there's different types of challenges.
Yeah.
So people who are like, oh, when I get to six figures or whatever the mark is, then my life's going to be easy. Then it's,
oh my God.
Like, just rainbows and butterflies and margaritas on the beach. And it's like, no, when you're not making any money, there are challenges. When you're making, you know, $1,000 a week, there's different challenges. And then when you get to like six figures or seven figures, there's seven figure challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily easier. Some people might say, oh, well, it's easier because you have money. Sure. But there's also a lot more at stake. Like you said,
yeah,
got this massive following.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, there's a lot for me that I'm experiencing at a higher level of entrepreneurship now, where it's like, I'm afraid of making the wrong choice to screw up what's already working. And so it's like this, almost like in the beginning, it was like, I'm just going to try a million different things and see what works. And now I've become, you know, almost in the space of like, well, okay, hold on. Is that the right choice? And mm-hmm. I'm wondering, because you've been on this journey, and not all of our audience knows your path, but you started in health coaching, right? And then transitioned into business coaching. And along the way in your business coaching life, you had to go through these ups and downs, right? Like, of letting go of old things that didn't serve you and mm-hmm. stretching into new things. So how do we know, how did you know that they were the right choices in that journey?
I think there are three big defining moments that I had up to now. The first was before I had gone full-time as an online coach, as an entrepreneur. I had signed up for a network marketing company in 2011, kind of did it as a side hustle, but couldn't really get any traction. Like, I made some money. I made enough to, you know, kind of cover my bills and just the basics. But I wouldn't, looking back, I thought I was like doing the thing, but now like, I wouldn't even consider that.
You were like the little kid with a lemonade stand, right?
No, like, that's, I was just, yeah. Like, it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't scalable. You know, I wasn't really showing up in the online space because it wasn't what it is today. So it's hard to even compare the two, but I look back at that and, you know, I took some time off. I was really pursuing my career as an actor. And then in 2014, I, you know, was, you know, auditioning and going to go to grad school. And I had all these other big plans. And I went back to working in a restaurant. I had already worked there for like 6-7 years. So went back and I was just fucking miserable. Like, it was just the worst environment. And of course, I was creating a lot of that for myself based on what I was focusing on, what meaning I was applying to it. Like, oh, by being here still, it means I'm a loser. It means I'm a failure. Mm. And so just even walking into that building made me upset and pissed off. Like, nothing else needed to happen. It was like, literally, I was so deeply anchored to have a negative response to being there. It just made work suck. So I would wake up on the days where I had to go into work and be like upset and already be depressed, already decide that it's going to be a shit day. So I just kind of got sick and tired of living in that way. And then on Easter of 2014, I went into work, and it was a very toxic environment. So it wasn't just me, you know, like, everybody was pissed off. Let's hang out after work, binge drink, and complain about all the tables that we hated. Why? Like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck? So I went in on Easter. I had like one table, and I wanted to go back home and spend time with my family. And that was a normal thing to get cut. I would be like, hey, can I go home now? Like, I don't have any tables. They'd be like, all right, yeah, sure, we can send you home. Well, they had just come out with a new rule where if you got sent home before 4 hours, the restaurant still had to pay you for those additional 2 hours.
Wow.
And they didn't obviously like that because they kept bringing people in for like 20 minutes being like, actually go home.
Yeah.
So the restaurants, the corporate people, they put this in place. And this newer manager, I was like, hey, can I go home? And he was like, no. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, you have to stay. But I have no tables. Why am I going to stand here? Mind you, we were getting paid $4.25 an hour.
Wow.
Plus tips, because they were allowed to make it below minimum wage because of that. But if you don't have tables, you're not getting tips.
Yeah,
you're just getting $4.25 an hour.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I was like, well, that's kind of silly. Why can't I just go home? You're going to have to pay me regardless. So why not have me go home and enjoy my family for $4.25 an hour instead of standing here looking at the wall? And he's like, fine, if you have nothing to do, why don't you go and scrub the base of the bar? Like, you know, the spot where people's feet go? He's like, that looks a little dirty here. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? I thought he was joking.
Oh my God.
So I went in the bathroom where I would often go in there and like just allow one little tear stand against the cold tile. And I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, I'm done. And I came back out and the entire bar smelled like cleaning stuff because he'd gotten all the like 16-year-old hosts with their gloves on their hands and knees scrubbing. And I was like, this is such bullshit. Like, we're not, that's not part of our job. We're not getting paid to do this.
Mm.
And I went in 2 days later and I was like, I quit. And different manager, he had just come back from, he was like gone for a while. He had a lot of health issues and stuff. And he's like, oh man, I would love to like leave here. I'd love to quit. You know, I've been here for 17 years.
Isn't it crazy how it happens when you quit and people are like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think I had done enough, or I know I had done enough personal development and growth at that point where I was really seeing the contrast of being in that environment and going, wow, this place is shit. Like, I deserve so much more than this. But still, then I would talk myself out of it so many times, be like, well, it's like 2 minutes from my house. I'm like, I have seniority here and it's easy money and I know the system. And I would just come up with all these reasons why it would be dumb for me to leave. Mm-hmm. And
so I did the same thing.
He was like, oh, well, you know, why don't you stay a little longer, save up a little bit more money? This is a big jump. Like, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? And I was like, looking at him, looking around, I'm like, yeah, I got this. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the big leaps of faith. But I didn't really have a plan. I didn't really know what I was doing. I had a little bit of success in network marketing at that time. But something in my brain flipped. I just decided that I was going to be successful. And then, you know, a couple years in network marketing, it was, I think, December of 2015, and I was crushing it on paper, hitting all the things that the company says, hit these goals and you'll be successful. And just like many people in that company, we were hitting the goals, but the income was not matching the markers that they had set.
Yeah.
So I was really freaking burnt out and I was getting really frustrated, blaming myself, saying, well, maybe I'm a bad leader, maybe I'm not doing the right things. But I was being praised and recognized on other platforms. So it was something, there was a disconnect. And I remember my boyfriend, he was like, hey, like calling me, are you ready to go? We've got to go to the New Year's Eve party. Like, when are we going to leave? And I was like, I just have to like make that one more sale so that I can hit, you know, 12 months
of
this like blah, blah, blah bullshit thing, right? This recognition thing. And I didn't want to let go of that goal. And so I did. I sat there until 9:30 trying to sign people up and get those last couple of people in to start for the new year. And I hit the goal. And then I went to the party and I was like, all right, I'm done. So now that I hit the goal, I'm over this shit. Like, I'm not doing it anymore. And I remember a couple of months after that, I was having a conversation with my boyfriend. He was like, that night, he was like, I was thinking, I don't know how we're going to survive another year of this. Or like, not even us as a couple, but like how I'm going to emotionally be able to do it, because it was such an up and down and such an emotional roller coaster and something that I really didn't have control over. Like, even though I was, you know, building my own independent business, it like I didn't have control of the bonuses and when new things would come out or when things would change. And so that was a really scary thing for me because I liked to be in control.
Well, that's the biggest thing I hear from network marketers is like, you really don't have 100% control over the revenue you receive in your network marketing business. It's not entirely on your shoulders. It's your downline and the builders underneath you and the company and whether or not they decide to give certain percentages. So yeah, so super challenging.
Yeah. So I, at that point I made a decision that I was going to start kind of building my own thing as a business coach. And that was like another big, really scary leap. But I remember going to some people on my team at the time and I just said, hey, like, I'm going to take this next month off from, you know, running these online groups. If you want to, it would be awesome if you guys could like run it for once and then take this on, since I had been like kind of like manning down, holding on the fort for everybody. And I was like, hey, like, can you guys do this? And they were like, oh, we're busy. And I was like, okay. Well, that just made my life so much easier. And it was really hard though to leave the community that I had built. And I know a lot of network marketers say this to me, that they have a lot of guilt around walking away from a team or walking away from, you know, this community of people that, you know, signed up with them and they feel responsible for their success and responsible to stay there. And I just encourage you to know that that's, though there may be some hard feelings potentially, at the end of the day, you're not serving anyone if you're not happy. Like, you cannot give your 100%, so they're not getting 100%. And you'd actually serve them a lot better if you could refer them out to somebody who really, really was excited about it and wanted to do it. So when I kind of came to that conclusion, I felt a lot more freedom within, like, letting go of things. And, you know, into business coaching, so it's kind of like, that was like the second big transitional moment where I was like, holy shit, I'm walking away from everything. I'm starting over, new website, new brand, new, like, new everything. Scary. And, but it was amazing. And like, the success happened very quickly because I was aligned with it. Whereas with the network marketing stuff, I like fitness and health, but I don't think it's my, like, the impact that that's going to be my legacy.
Yeah.
So as soon as I switched to business coaching, it was pretty amazing. And then the third big transition was within this last year, I had a business partner that I was working with for about a year. And like, when you have two really strong women with clear visions, there's going to be some friction, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I think after a while, as an individual, you just kind of decide that you don't want to compromise what you're doing anymore. And you really want to make sure that what you are put, like, I, for myself, I was like, I want to make sure that I have control over what my brand message is. I want integrity around what I'm doing. And I just didn't like the compromising that I had. Because obviously in any relationship.
Oh yeah.
Been with my boyfriend for almost 11 years. So.
Oh my God. Like, I was going to say.
I'm cool with compromise. So I'll just say that. But, yeah. You know, I think it really kind of came down to where we were running a group coaching program. This was the third one. We just finished up the third one that we did together. And we decided that we were about to go into a launch for our very last program that we'd run together. And I remember even having a conversation with you, like, throughout this time about, you know, just different things that were coming up for me, things that weren't feeling aligned. Like, I wasn't happy. I felt really stressed out all the time. And I just wasn't having fun anymore. And I think that was a huge lesson for me, because previously it was all about hustling and getting shit done. And I prided myself on being able to just stick it out. And I was like, but what the hell's the point if I'm not enjoying any of it? And I, mind you, I loved the people that I worked with. I loved being able to coach them. But there was just and I'm sure you, like, anyone listening to this, I'm sure you've experienced this in your business where all of a sudden, like, you decide to do something or something happens, you're in the middle of a launch, or, you know, you make a business decision and it just feels heavy.
Oh yeah.
You don't necessarily put your finger on what it is, but you just feel like a general heaviness around your business. And you're like, not looking forward to showing up for it. You don't really want to, I didn't even want to promote what we were putting out there, because it just, something felt off. Yeah. And then it came to the time where we're like, you know what, we had a conversation and it was like, do we run this or not? And the decision was made to cancel in the middle of the launch, which at the time was like a really big decision. I was not scared about it at all in terms of the financial aspects. Like, I was like, I know I'll make that back. Like, that's not a problem. I had the most difficult time, again, because I didn't want to let those people down. Mm. And we had about 65 women in a group already paid out like $100,000 people had invested. And I mean, with payment plans, it would have been 200K. Yeah. And we ended up refunding all of that money, which is, to most people who are new to business, are like, what the fuck? Like, who does that? Like, who refunds that money? But I think for me, it was like I said, not really about the money. I was like, I'll figure out something. I'll relaunch in a different way. The money will be there. I've total faith in that. It was really about, are we going to be able to serve these girls?
Yeah.
And I felt terrible. Like, people were posting, like, how excited they were about this, how they couldn't wait to do this program. And I really felt like I was letting people down. But I think all in all, it ended up working out exactly as it was supposed to. Mm. And I remember a few months after, I was reading something, and it was talking about a Pyrrhic victory. And it was this general who, he had been like the best, I'm probably totally screwing this up, this metaphor, but he was the general, and he won like these two amazing wars, and they were like, oh, you're going to go to war again, you're the best leader, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I can't do that. I can't go again. And they were like, why? You won. Like, don't you want to win? And he was like, the losses, the people that I've lost, the trauma of the situation, all of that, it's not worth the win. Mm. It's not worth the win. So I remember being like, oh my God, like, this would have been a Pyrrhic victory where I would have had to postpone. And I remember this conversation you and I had, like, postpone me really stepping into things that filled me with joy. Like, why am I going to wait 3 months to fulfill my destiny?
Yeah.
Like, that's actually not serving anyone. Right. And it's not serving me. So if I'm not filling my cup, how am I going to be able to give back to others?
Well, I think in the beginning of entrepreneurship, we receive money and it's like, oh my God, I'm receiving money, and we feel so excited. But like, what you went through and having to refund hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, not all money is equal, right? It's not. And being able to receive money that feels good to you, that excites you, that is all because of a program that you're aligned with, versus receiving money for something that's not making you feel good, that's contracted or restricted or suffocating a little bit, can affect how you show up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a big, I think that's such a big lesson for people. Like, I was talking to one of our clients who made a decision to walk away from, she's a branding expert, and she's also a coach, and she's deciding to leave the most lucrative part of her business on the table, and she's not going to do branding anymore. And like, I think all of us struggle with where we hear the idea, like, oh, you should leave this, or oh, this isn't serving you. But then we like sit and we let it fester and we ignore it for like months until it kind of slaps us in the face and we have to make that choice.
Yeah.
Did you know that that was like a decision you had to make before you actually made the decision?
I knew, I had an intuition that it was coming just from both ends. And I think I had a lot of resistance, and I didn't want that situation to end because I had put blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Yeah.
You know, into the program, into the people, into the brand, and to walk away from something that was, you know, a year long plus of work. It was, what's the word? It was a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, where it was a huge part of my creation, my identity. And so walking away from that and now kind of starting over from scratch in a lot of ways and saying, okay, well, if we're starting over here, now I can make this whatever I want.
Yeah.
Fuck, what do I want this to be?
Yeah.
Now I have total autonomy and freedom. Now what do I do? And I think for like a couple of months, I really was kind of just processing that and really trying to find my personal way through that, and also just heal from the burnout, and like a lot of health things were coming up for me just from working so hard for so long. So yeah, it's just a fascinating thing. But I think the biggest lessons that I've learned from that experience were like your intuition, your gut, those hits that you're getting, they're not wrong. Like if you think something's off, it's because it is. So And you're not manifesting that. I think that was a big thing for me. Like, did I manifest X, Y, and Z? No. My intuition was like, hey, this is happening. Go inspect this.
Yeah.
So I think you just need to trust your gut when things are coming to you that feel off. And also when things are like, oh my God, holy shit, I'm going to step into this new thing. This feels so huge. I don't know what this is going to be. I think also just trusting my intuition and knowing that I'm like divinely guided. I think trusting on that side of the spectrum as well has been huge.
Yeah.
And not settling at all. Like being able to, this is the other thing that was, I think, a big lesson for me was being able to kind of same thing, that the same theme that happened over the years of being able to draw a line in the sand and say, I want something better. I deserve better than this. I'm ready for something more, and really standing up for myself when I was met with adversity. And I love Tony Robbins because he says, you know, even for him, he's like, I have fewer opponents now, but anytime there's a challenge or person or a situation that is pushing up against him, he just goes, ah, a worthy opponent. And that kind of became my mantra for a little bit. And it really released a lot for me because I was my own opponent at times.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? Like this concept of, oh, a worthy opponent, because what in the online space, right? Like, we're all fucking opponents, like me and you and all of the other business coaches out there who are all doing very similar things, all in the same space. How do you think that's played a role in your growth as an individual, like being surrounded by other people who are trying to grow the same exact thing? Do you show up in that space of competition, or do you allow yourself to be like supported in a tribe?
Yeah, interesting. I really don't see the other people in the business space or in related industries as opponents. I really have fully stepped into the idea of collaboration. I think being in a mastermind just helped to amplify that even more. And all my life, I've always been that person where I was like, oh, everybody should win together. Like, that was how my mom was. Like, I was not, as a little kid, I was not allowed to win the Easter egg hunt. Because like my brother and I had to tie, like we all had to be collectively winning. So I think that the idea of that, whether it's good or not, was something that was like deeply ingrained in me as a little kid. So I really do see us all like rising together. Like if I can pour into my students and they succeed, well, their success then becomes my success.
But you know what? When I was a kid, I did not have a mom that was like, oh, split all the Easter eggs. I would come home from school and I'd have like my test grade and I'd say, Mom, like I got a 92. And she would say, oh, well, what did so-and-so get? And what did so-and-so get? So interesting. Our conditioning makes us like affects how we show up in business. And I felt that like pressure of comparison at certain levels of my business.
Yeah. Along the way. I definitely we all fall into comparison.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think even just being in a mastermind this year, and having people that have been in it for 3 years, you know, there's people who have multiple seven-figure businesses in there who have, you know, huge teams and beautiful infrastructures. And that's something that I'm working towards. But then it's like, should I be where they are? Mm. But then you start, like, the more that you get to know people at a variety of levels and you start to talk to them, you realize, like, everybody has stuff that's going on in their business. Nobody's business is perfect, even if it looks like they have the coolest graphics and, you know, the best live videos, the best lighting, and they're so pretty and they have great hair. Like, everybody has their own stuff that they're working through and dealing with at different times.
Yeah. I cry in my pajamas too, you guys. I mean, like, this is just my life.
Yeah.
Like, we're all real. We're all real.
Yeah. Everyone's human. And I've found that taking people off the pedestal is really helpful, and just remembering that we're all human. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten to become friends with people who at one time I was like, oh my God, like she's so amazing. Like, put her on a pedestal. And it's like, oh my God, you know my name now? This is so like fangirling, right? But it's like, oh, they, like, I've been able to give them business ideas that they've executed on. Like, that was a great idea. And it's like, holy shit. Like, what I have to say has an impact. Mm. And I think being a part of that community just like took things to a whole other level. Which is why I'm excited for the mastermind that we're doing. But
Oh my God.
You're elevated by the people that you're surrounded by. And I think especially in that type of environment, you know, and my mentor does an amazing job of really making sure that we all know, like, this is a space where there is no competition. There's nowhere that you're supposed to be already, and really hammers home a lot of the mindset stuff, which is something that I'm also very passionate about. So I was attracted to his coaching. I think we get stuck in that trap of comparison. And I've recently been trying to spend a lot less time on social media because of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to see a lot of people's comments and posts and content like blend together.
Yes.
I think when we start to spend too much time on social media, I have a lot of peers who I love and adore. I think they're so brilliant. And I, when I read their stuff, I'm starting to see all of them kind of become, which happens. Like, you get to work with those people.
But they're almost like talking about the same things, or they have the same message because they're all so deeply connected. And yeah, and that can be a powerful tool, but it can also be, there's a dark side to that as well, where it's like, where's your originality? Where's your authenticity?
Yes, you lose your voice a little bit when you're over-consuming, which I think is a big problem with a lot of people. And, you know, over-consuming personal development and just scrolling the news feed, like, way too much. And then all of a sudden we start to forget that we're writing content for our ideal client, and instead start creating and curating content that would be great for our peers, because that's who we're reading stuff from. And it's like, oh, that triggered a thought for me, I'm gonna make this post. But your ideal client might not be at that level yet, and now they're not connecting with your message, and you're not connecting with your message, and it's not drawing a direct line to the things that you're selling. And so your sales are being impacted, and you're like, what's happening? Like, something is going wrong, but I can't figure it out. And sometimes it just, it's like taking a step off.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think that entrepreneurs all experience an evolution of their ideal client and who they're speaking to. And while some of that shifting can be because they're going deeper into their message, how can we make sure that that's what's happening and not, oh, I'm just turning into my peers, or I'm losing my focus in my niche? Like, going specific and getting even more clear on who you talk to. Like, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think exactly what you said. Like, it kind of evolves over time. And when I worked with a lot of women, they've gotten into that mindset of like, I have to figure out exactly who this is. And this person, she has to be blonde, she has to shop at Target. If she doesn't love frappuccinos from Starbucks, she's not my ideal client. And it's like, it's not quite that rigid. It's more of a framework for you to know who you're speaking to.
Yeah.
So when I first started as a health coach, I had one type of ideal client. As I started to really understand how specifying who I'm speaking to is going to help me in every aspect of my business, I started sharing a little bit more about my journey with like my health and wellness and emotional eating and different things. And all of a sudden I started attracting those types of people who would go up and down, or the yo-yo dieters. As I evolved into business coaching, I started with what I knew. So I loved teaching the behind the scenes, more techie stuff that maybe the people in network marketing couldn't do, or wouldn't, they weren't at that level. And so I was helping people who already had established businesses who wanted more of the behind the scenes. So that kind of, my squirrels, my creative squirrels, became my ideal client. And then from there, you know, it's grown. I was working specifically with health coaches and network marketers. And I feel like now it's even evolving again, where it's going to be women who are at a slightly higher level in their business, where they are making those consistent five-figure months, and they want, you know, they want to figure out how to effectively scale from a strategy standpoint, but also from, you know, working on their inner game.
And I think this is a lesson too that is just so powerful. Like, no matter where you are in your entrepreneurship, you're always needing to learn. You're always being challenged to grow. And the mastermind that we're working on together is just such a reflection of that, right? Because people who are making five-figure months, okay, great. Like, that's awesome. But where do you want to go from here? How do you want to push it even further, right? How do you want to make it sustainable? Those are all big adult problems. They're big girl problems, right?
they're six-figure problems, right?
Yeah.
Or like working the six-figure problems. Yeah, I think being able to create a space for that is like, when we were first talking about it and kind of throwing some ideas around, we just saw this opening in the market of, wow, there's all of these bigger, higher level, you know, 20K plus masterminds for, you know, people who are already making six figures and up. And there's all these group coaching programs
that are like entry.
Those are a little bit more beginner oftentimes, or if you're the more advanced person, you're probably not getting the attention that you want inside that group because they're focused on working with beginners, which, you know, is a trap that tends to happen. Mm. So it's like, well, if you're in that kind of limbo between, you know, getting to that next level, what do you do? Is your only option to hire a one-on-one coach or do it yourself? Or like, what else is there? So we were like, wait,
let's like film
not this. Yes.
Yeah. And I think too, like, you always have to be aware when you do hire people, whether it's enrolling in a mastermind or investing in a coach, that they are teaching you because they've been there, right? Like, and I think that that's the power of the mastermind, is that you're getting all of these energies of all of these different people who are experienced, and it's not just one particular person. But I do find some people who invest in coaches or enroll in programs only to find out that that person hasn't actually done what they're teaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful of that too, I think.
Absolutely. And in the online space, it's really, unfortunately, kind of easy for people to fudge numbers or exaggerate what they've accomplished. So definitely having a coach or a mentor who's done things that you'd like to do, or like something that I do is I'm not going to teach somebody I have a decent following on Instagram, but I'm not going to teach you how to get 50,000 followers because I don't have 50,000 followers. Yeah. So I'm going to bring on somebody that's in my peer group that can be the expert on that topic.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't necessarily have to be the expert in all things to start, a thyroid program or a business program or a branding program, but use your resources that you have because you probably have a lot more than you think. People are definitely like, somebody was like, wow, how are you getting like X, Y, and Z people on your podcast? I'm like, I asked. I literally just asked them and they said yes. So I think we overthink it sometimes that like, we don't want to hear them say no, or like, oh my God, I'm going to ask them. People are happy to get in front of your audience with you saying, hey, this is a credible person on this topic. Great. Now you've just transferred that rapport onto that person.
Well, this is the power of networking. And I think when I started, I was so afraid of reaching out to certain people. Even now, I have this goal. I'm like, I really want to be on the Almost 30 podcast. Like that, I swear to God, if I'm on that podcast, I can pull up a chair, lay back, read a magazine, put my pajamas on, and never worry about anything again. I don't know why, but that is my vision. Because I love those girls, right? But I'm so afraid that if I pitch myself to them and they don't answer or they say no, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not successful enough for them to want me on that show. Screw them. And then my whole relationship with them is going to be ruined. And that's how I process it in my brain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that high school mean girls sort of fear, I think, that comes up with asking and putting yourself out there on social media.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of podcasts, one of the things that I think has been really fun for me is if I know somebody, we all know each other, everybody in this bubble very well connected. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. So find somebody in your current network who you are friends with or acquaintances with and ask them to make an introduction for you.
Yeah.
Cause great. Now you've got an in and they're like, oh, okay. So-and-so said you're a good person to bring on the show. Want to be come on the show. Mm-hmm. So I think just again, having that transferred, they're basically transferring their relationship to you and saying okay, here, pass this along.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's the whole point, community and connection and support and sisterhood and mm-hmm. being able to lift each other up and show up in that space of just really being a team, even when we're working individually, right?
Absolutely.
I think that's what's really fucking cool about this particular line of work, right? Is all of these people are very aware. I mean, and there are some bad apples from time to time where people mm-hmm. are just focused on making money, but many of the girls in this space are in their personal development world and they're ready to connect and explore and build deeper relationships.
Absolutely. And I think if we're trying to do it alone, it's going to be nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Why do it alone? You have all of these people who want to collaborate. And it's so much coming from a network marketing background, I don't know if this is just how I had interpreted some of the training that I got, but ultimately it was I wouldn't necessarily engage with people or talk to people unless I thought that they would be a good fit for the network marketing opportunity. Because otherwise it was I don't really see how we're going to be able to help each other. But as soon as I stepped out of that space, it was that was so dumb.
Yeah.
Now when I'm at, and especially now having a podcast, which I think is such a huge opportunity, or if you do a Facebook Live interview series, it's how can I help you? How can I support you? And I think if you show up from that space with people and just pour into them, not even your clients, but other influencers, other thought leaders in the space, they are so wow, because not everybody's doing that. And after I go on a podcast or I interview somebody for my show, I'm always is there anything that I can do for you? Is there anybody that I can connect you with?
Yeah.
And make an introduction for you? And people are always whoa, really? And I think I'm not the only person that does that by any means. But I think that that's just like such a powerful thing, and it's such a beautiful gift. Like, I get excited to be like, oh, cool, I get to like introduce these two people. Like, they're going to hit it off. They're going to have so much fun. And it's going to be so great for them. Like, they're going to be able to add to each other. And guess what? You just made yourself invaluable to those two people. Mm. Like, you've just added to their life. And you didn't even need to do anything other than send a quick email.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's that ability to connect and just be a source of love and support for the people around you. I think it's just bringing it back, I think, because that's how you and I started, right? Like, we used to get on calls together in the early days of our coaching and just support each other and teach each other and help each other. And that's what needs to be here in this space. I don't think that ever should go away, because that's the beauty of this culture when we allow it to grow together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Jen, as we wrap up, where can people find you if they want to take the next step in learning more about your services and your programs and our mastermind? Where can they go?
Yeah. So to connect with me, I have lots of content on my website, my blog, heyjencasey.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at heyjencasey. It's Jen with one N. And also my Facebook group, Online Coaches Manifest and Monetize. You can go to heyjencasey.com/group and find me there.
Awesome. And we'll put all of that in the show notes for you guys. Jen, thank you so much for being here. I love jamming with you.
I just love you so much.
Bye. If you guys are still listening, thank you so much for staying on and downloading this episode. We love hearing from you guys. We love supporting entrepreneurship, and helping you guys grow your business and your life is just, it's my passion. And I really enjoy hearing from you guys about the success you're creating, the businesses that you're growing, the results that you're achieving. So if you're out there and you've been listening to the Badass Business Podcast and you really enjoy the show, it would mean so much to me if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. These reviews allow us to get seen by more entrepreneurs just like you. And on a note, if you're an entrepreneur who's craving support deeper than just listening to a podcast episode, come join our secret Facebook group, Badass Business Babes. This is a tribe of entrepreneurs. There's like 4,000 of us in there, and we support and help each other along the way. We post questions. I give you live trainings for free. So if you're in that space of just being ready for the next step in your entrepreneur life, come join us. Just search Badass Business Babes on Facebook, or you can go to badassbusinessbabe.com/Facebook. But either way, I would love to see you guys leave a review. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. See you on the next episode.